Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister, members of the committee, the guests. I've received three apologies from Honorable Tseke, Cheu, and Honorable Standa, who indicated that they're busy with the constituency work. And I've received a letter from the Deputy Speaker, who could not be able to attend today's meeting. Thank you.
Apologies accepted. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Can we be finished with the reasons of this apology? Thank you.
The letter from Deputy Speaker indicating that he won't be able to attend the committee meeting scheduled for today at 10. There's no reason stated in the letter. Honorable Chiwu, she won't be able to attend due to constituency work. Same applies to Honorable Standard. She's saying also she's got constituency appointments from 2nd of June until Thursday, 7th of June. For Ms. Feke, okay. She's saying that they've got a by-election in her constituency because one of their member councillor there was involved in the car accident and she passed on. So she's part of this by-election. Also, she has been tasked to serve on the preparatory committee for the funeral and memorial services of the member. Thank you, Chair.
Members, are those apologies accepted? Honourable Member, I'm trying to correct your statement. We're not forced to accept them. If we're not satisfied, we can't. That's why I've asked the members.
Yeah.
Honorable member?
Yeah. Oh, I just want to find out, was the members aware about this very important item that's on the agenda today?
Yes.
Because this item is extremely crucial and I mean, when you deal with government work, you cannot go and say I'm doing constituency work when it's government work that you have to deal with. I don't know if they were aware of the importance of the item.
The members who are not here were aware of this meeting and the agenda for this meeting.
Honorable Mood. Chairperson, having heard about the reasons, I'm just concerned, really, without putting a fuss on this. Now, if, as a committee, do you correct to convene this meeting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, then I think we'll discuss it at some stage because the subject matter here is very important. We can go on.
Okay, we'll share it. Okay, let me start with the introduction.
morning. Again, my name is Melissa Nobata and I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, all. I'm Denise Robinson, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Basabile Dlamini, Minister of Women in the Presidency. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Shweki Shabalala, the Acting Director General in the Department of Women.
Good morning. My name is Dori Murutwa. I'm the Chairperson of the Women's Caucus Parliament.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Nokole Dimajeke, member of the Portfolio Committee for Women in the Office of the President.
Good morning, Mervyn Dux, ANC member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Mbulelo Mkondo, member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lizo Fanamarva, and I'm a member of this Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Andile Mpunga. I'm an official based in the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. I'm Dr. Herman Deme in OISD.
Good morning again. Protocol Observer Kylie Duzweni, OISD.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. And guests, I'm Kemraj Anirudra, the Parliamentary Officer for the Commission for Gender Equality.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members, Minister. I'm Keketso Mayama, CEO, Commission for Gender Equality.
Morning, Honourable Chair. My name is Lula Manare. I'm the Chairperson of the Gender Commission.
May I ask people seated at the back on the side to introduce themselves?
Good morning. I'm John Collins. I'm from the organization Sweep and Lobbyist.
Good morning. I'm Gregory Bantam. I'm a lobbyist at Sweep.
Good morning. Daniela Ellebeck from Freedom of Religion South Africa.
Good morning, Makoma Mabilo
from BMG.
Afshan Sadi Longoven, private citizen.
Welcome. Can we proceed? Point four. May I then give the floor to KubaZulu, the Democrat?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me from the beginning indicate that we here to advise the committee that of the process that this issue which is before us has taken. Hence, we do not have a report. If I may start from the tail, there is a report from the committee, the task team that has been established, which will be submitted or is due to be submitted to the presiding officers by end of this month, latest. Then there will be an official report before the POs, which I think the committee should consider, again, inviting the Deputy Speaker and our office to come and present that report when it has been received. But Chair, I just want to put context to this report that I'm referring to. Following several engagements between the heads of the ISDs, we refer to Chapter 9 and all the constitutional institutions, if I may say, because others are not in Chapter 9, but we collectively refer to them as ISDs, institutions supporting democracy. The various engagements have taken place between the POs, the heads of the ISDs, and some relevant members of the executive, together with the relevant portfolio committee chairs here in Parliament. The last engagement wherein a decision was taken to form a task team to process the recommendation Professor Kari Asmal, one relating to amalgamation and to the delinking or the shifting of ISD budgets to Parliament's vote, was in November. No, not November, I think October last year. I think it was in Gauteng. The task team is chaired by Deputy AG, that AG being the Auditor General. So Deputy AG is the chair of the overall task team. And the task team is made up of two working streams. The first stream is the one that focuses on the delinking of budgets or the shifting of ISD budgets, and is chaired by Professor Blagis from the FFC, the Financial and Fiscal Commission. And the second stream is the one dealing with amalgamation. It's currently chaired by Commissioner Nzimande from PSC, Public Service Commission. It was initially chaired by the CEO of CGE. And in terms of composition, if I may just zoom to the one that relates to amalgamation, it's composed of all these affected ISDs or institutions, CGE, Human Rights Commission, CRL, PANS Lab, and also PSC, NYDA. I think that's a stream. I might be forgetting one or two. And then the other stream, which is dealing with the financial issues, the delinking, I don't think I should bother you with the detail of that. Okay, thank you. As I was saying, it's chaired by Professor Blagis, chairperson of the FFC. And then it's composed of PP. It's composed of, if you can also help me, let me just look at a chair. IEC, Public Protector, which is PP, and Auditor General. It's composed of those offices. There's a lot of work that has been done by these working streams. I think the last meeting they had, in fact, they meet separately and sometimes meet jointly. The last joint meeting that I attended was in April. I'm told there's been a meeting recently where they were finalizing a draft report which will be submitted to Parliament, as I was saying, end of this month. And we are close to the process because we are providing secretarial support to these working streams and, in fact, to the whole task team. We confident that indeed the deadline of the 30th of June will be met. I'm reluctant to speak to the issues at the report, because I will be putting the cart before the horse, and I think I'm ready though to respond to questions that might be asked in that regard, though I think the best time to engage with the report would be when they have finalized their work and they have submitted the official report to Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
So what's the proposed time for finalizing this measure, if I may ask?
Chair, the proposal for submitting the report and recommendations is 30th June this year. It's not a report that will, I can't say it will say there should be amalgamation. The task team is looking at a number of issues that have come up since the engagement to process the Kadasmal report. As you would recall, Chair, emerging from the views of the public and from some of the ISDs is an issue that there should be no amalgamation at all. The second one is saying there should be partial amalgamation. And the third one is saying there should be amalgamation. So there are three different views that are emerging in the process. And that is what the task team is seized with. They are synthesizing all that information, also doing their own research, and then they will make recommendations to Parliament as to what is the appropriate process and what is the appropriate model. So it could be that there should be no amalgamation at all, and there will be indeed reasons behind that. Because part of the terms of reference that were given to this task team was that when they make recommendation and consider this recommendation from the Kadasmal report, they must look at various issues, including the unique situation of South Africa, in the sense that when these institutions, which are unique in South Africa, were created or established, what was the reason behind? What is the impact of these ISDs since they were established? Also, consider the wisdom behind the recommendation itself, because as you would know, Chair, the recommendations by the Kadasmal Committee, sorry, the official name is not the Kadasmal Committee. Please forgive me, we commonly refer to it as Kadasmal Committee. It's called Ad Hoc Committee on the Review of Chapter 9 and Associated Institutions. That's the official name of the committee. But for reference sake, we commonly refer to it as Kadasmal. There were various reasons that were advanced or given or submitted by the committee itself when they came up with a recommendation of amalgamation. As part of the terms of reference for this task team, in particular this working group, the question was that are those reasons still relevant as we speak? Because Kadasmal report was produced I think in 2007, if not mistaken, but a long time back. So they have to come up now to look at to whether indeed those issues are still relevant or they have been addressed and therefore they are not relevant. So which, in my view, then says this recommendation somehow is watered down. Or the yes. So there were a number of terms of reference that were agreed, debated, and adopted. So this this task team or working group will be addressing all those issues. We expect it to be addressing all those issues and come up with recommendations to Parliament. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, I'm going to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, my concern is that, you know, firstly, we are working from the premise of a current ASMAR report that's very, very old. It's more than a decade old. The situation in South Africa in terms of inequality, in terms of gender-based violence, and so many other issues have changed. So the concern is also that Carter ASMAR report was never debated in the House, so there were never binding resolutions or you know, tabled to the House or adopted. So my question is really that, you know, if we're moving from a starting point of using a report which was produced and researched such a long time ago, then I think, you know, we're working on old data and old premises. But I wanted to ask, how did you, in terms of your current work, in terms of reporting and finalizing this report, how are you engaging civil society in terms of this process? And what has been the feedback that you've received? How many organizations have you engaged, and how much feedback did you get from the public, for example? If I can just get clarity on that.
The Minister?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I thought I would give members of the portfolio committee an opportunity to speak first, but I think the questioning is one, it's the storyline is almost the same, because my first question was going to be, when was the report compiled? So it was compiled in 2007, and it's 2018 now. And we have many reports. You know, one other thing that makes me unhappy is that we are giving a general report when we are here about the report on the Commission of Gender Equality or for Gender Equality. We want to know more on that issue. And then the rationale then, and when there was pronouncement about the report, there was an outcry from civil society. Then I thought at some stage there would be engagement with civil society. And then now the relevance of the report now, seeing what is happening more particularly on women. And I think we all know that a patriarchy is an institution, and we have not scratched the surface. And for us, what is important is not here. Yes, we heard that there was a report that was dealing with finance matters. And the first question that comes to me, that is why I said I would like to know about who was in the committee. What was the discussion of that committee? And what makes other institutions that are Chapter 9 institutions to have discussions out of other Chapter 9 institutions? That's my sense, because the public protector, other... The AG and the IEC, how do you make them discuss this report? Because surely they are not going to be independent, but also who was they discussing? Does that person understand gender issues? Because now you have to bring down the report and be specific and talk about what you are saying about the Commission for Gender Equality. what did they say about the commission? So also let's look at the impact. I'm not impressed about amalgamation. This goes, if someone says the gender commission must be amalgamated, this is again a message that says we cannot do things on our own, which is subjective. It depends on how someone thinks when it comes to gender, power relations and gender relations, and women in different sectors, how have they been moving forward, and what are the obstacles? Why is our society so violent, but more towards women, even towards the girl child? So, okay, you might come with that suggestion, but amalgamation of such an important committee, I think that is also saying we can't be independent, we can't carry our agenda forward, and therefore we need someone who is going to help us do some of the things, because the problem is that we are given powers and we are not given tools of engagement. For instance, the Gender Commission has many powers, but if you look into some of them, they are not possible. You can't, as a woman, go and search someone's house. You will need someone to accompany you to that place, because you don't know the type of the people you are going to. Summoning people, that I know has been done, but it needs people that will be able to nudge someone who is summoned by the Gender Commission to come and make presentations if they have to make presentations. Lastly, there are many things that are still coming that are going to need us working very hard. I've been looking at the issue of the land and how are we going to deal with it. Because even if most countries try and deal with it, they tend to move towards a customary law. And customary law goes according to lineage. And lineage does not give land to women. It gives from the great-grandfather, it went to the grandfather, from the grandfather, it went to the father, from the father, it went to the son. It does not go direct to women. And I would have expected that the Gender Commission is going to have a very big role just in that. So I thank you. I don't want to say a lot.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a very big concern regarding the issue that you have raised of public consultation. You said there was public consultation. And Honorable Van der Merwe raised it with you to say who was, which public was it, have you consulted with? Now, that is my concern that I have here. And I just want to elaborate on it. Was the, you say public consultation, what kind of consultation was this? Or was it was there public participation during this process? Did you go to different provinces to go and have open public participation where people can come and comment and make input on this year. Also, there's many women's organizations out there, non-political women's organizations in the country. Have they been consulted? The political parties even have women's organizations that, for example, the IFP got the IFP Women's Brigade, ANC got the ANC Women's League, and those political women's groupings represent the views of women in this country. So I want to just understand, how was this? Who did you actually consult? Because you speak about public consultation, you are not speaking about public participation. So I don't think there was public participation. Then my other question is, within this parliament, which is one of the key stakeholders in this thing, there's this thing called the Multi-Party Women's Caucus. Have you had consultation with them? Have you ever come and present to them, for them to hear their views on the matter? Those are the two questions that I want to ask. Then I just want to further comment on this thing here, that it is difficult now to, I'm hearing you say there'll be a final report, there'll be a report ready by end of this month here. So it is a bit putting the cart before the horse now if we're going to discuss this thing, because I don't know what's going to be in that report. So it seems like we'll have to wait for that report to come. But when you say the report must come to Parliament, I think we must just clarify the process when the report is finished. I don't think it should go to Parliament per se. It should actually come to this committee, to this Women's Committee, so that we can discuss it and make recommendations on it. And it should also go to the multi-party Women's Caucus before it can even go to Parliament for discussion. Because just hearing the views on the street of people and hearing the views of women whenever you speak to them, it is very, very clear that the Gender Commission can never be amalgamated. And when you look at I get the sense when hearing from people, I get the sense that the only consideration for amalgamation is financial constraints, because there's financial problems, there's financial constraints. Now we say let's amalgamate because of financial problems, without taking into consideration the issues facing women in the country. I was more driven by financial considerations than driven by women's issues and women's needs in this country. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Mine is more of comments to a person. Firstly, CGE, I think its existence serves a very important role within the constitution of the country. And that there may be some duplications that happen between other Chapter 9 institutions. I think that can be addressed in terms of them consulting and also collaborating to avoid duplication. We are still such a very divided society with cultural and emotional pattern of living. If CGE could be amalgamated with other institutions, I think its role of looking into gender equality will not be taken into consideration fully. Why I'm talking about this divided society, if you look into our settlement, we are still living in very different areas. You see whites there and blacks, etc., etc. There's still a very big role that needs to be taken, whereby we need to be seen living together as South Africans. So if CGE is amalgamated, surely I think, much as I know part of its responsibility is to monitor, evaluate, etc., etc., but for it to be able to look into gender issues, if it's incorporated with other Chapter 9 institutions, I think it will not do justice to women's issues. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you. You know, there are so many people who have said a mouthful of this, the issue that we're talking about. You know, I'm trying to debate with myself here. Was it necessary that ICT should come here and tell us that they are still doing whatever the issues that, because first of all, it's a non-starter. We have convened a very important meeting. We woke up very early from our provinces, and we left work that we were supposed to do and come here, and we are told that the ICT and these committees that have been formed, the one is the financial one and the other one, and at the end of everything, they can't divulge the report yet because it's not complete. I think it's not workable. It's not just correct. It's one of the things that the minister is talking about. I don't want to use strong words because, you know, you will be saying women are very emotional. But I think it indicates that, you know, as women, we are not taken seriously. Mm-hmm. First of all, the whole process has been going on. It has never come to us, to our attention. By the way, multi-party is where all the women are in parliament, and nobody has come to us to tell us where this process is. We once had a multi-party, the first caucus that we had in parliament, where the deputy speaker gave us a synopsis of what amalgamation and where it is, and he was coming with a complete report that never concerned us. You see, we happen to be public representatives that are sent by people to parliament. I think I'll concur with all the speakers that have spoken before me, starting with Lizelle. And I think also I'm concerned that the public participating in that we are talking about, it's not the one that we as parliament are used to having. And I'm also concerned, I think I'll concur with CGE first and foremost, because there was a reason for us to establish that, the CGE as South Africa. There's a lot of things that we would like to have from CGE. Mainly, I know that there was a very concerning matter with South Africa, that did we complete our barometer, gender barometer. And no one else can do that. It's only CGE who can do that. And whether we are talking about partial or we are talking about amalgamation, to me it's just not on, because CGE has its own responsibility. If they disagree with the recommendation, and I think they are quite right, because their specialist function, it's an institution that has got special functions, and also it is there to protect the core rights of the women, and also the legacy of patriarchy deeply entrenched in our society right now. It is only the CGE that can do that. And I think we can really say a lot of things. And I can also come up with a likely impact of this amalgamation, if we have time, that has been put across by CGE. And I want to ask, because CGE has said a lot of things,
What is this? What do they call it, Comrade Gatsaka? These committees that you said that are formed, the financial one, and what. What are they saying about the CGE's input? Because it's so profound that really, if you listen to what the CGE is saying, they cannot go forward and still want to, whether partial or what, we don't want it to be amalgamated to anything. Because it has got a very serious responsibility. The minister has just said now we have got accumulation of gender femicide. You see, people are being killed, women are killed left and right. And are we going to blame CGE CTI7? And still we want to amalgamate it, see Fagenab. And how are they going to exercise their responsibilities? No. And I think, Tina, as Parliament, we are still going to continue. We want a public hearing here in Parliament. We are not going to be told by people that they had a public hearing somewhere else and bring a report. We can't. Abantu abasithumele eParliament bazathi asikwazi ukusebenza. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Coming in right at the end,
it's not
quite at the end. However, a lot of what I wanted to say has been said, and I don't want to belabor the point. But quite honestly, I am disgusted at the disdain with which this committee has been held and treated. We should have been some of the first to hear about this, and not via the back door, and indirectly. And once we hear now that a report is ready to be submitted, we can make input. We should have been there. And if this committee is taken seriously, then it would not have happened. And this is just typical of the power relations that exist in this country and the patriarchal attitudes. So I must say I condemn this in the strongest, and I think that this should be known. I quite agree we should have been involved, and civil society and more women's organizations should have heard about it. It's completely unacceptable. The patriarchy, the violence, we open the newspapers, we hear on radio, TV, how many more people are being killed, and not only women, but children, innocent children. It's nauseating. And now we are thinking of reducing the function of this committee that is a very vital one. Yes, there might be financial considerations, but if I remember correctly, their books are in order. They're not in debt as or in the red as some of the other Chapter 9s. So why penalize them? In fact, it is something I have been saying for a long time in my speeches and in the committees, that they, in fact, should be given a bigger budget so that they can do something useful. So I think this is quite unacceptable, considering that this is the committee to which the CGE reports. You know, this is just a total denial of our responsibility. If they are amalgamated, it'll be a matter of diluting the effect, whereas we in fact need a stronger energy put into our country for all sectors of society to recognize the value of women, but also just the human rights culture. According to our human rights culture, according to our constitution, everybody is equal. There are no second-class citizens. So why is this still being applied to women in general and to our committee in particular? So I really do object, and I want this to be known strongly, that we should have been the first, and I'm really sorry that our deputy speaker isn't here today. He was due to be here, but he should hear this firsthand, and no doubt he will from us when we convene another meeting. But this cannot be allowed. We must stand up for ourselves and for those women who are being marginalized every day. We happen to have the voice. We happen to be privileged of sitting in a parliament, but don't still put us right at the back of the queue when you talk about us. Nothing without us. Thank you. Could you hear?
I think, Mama, honorable member,
Chair. Minister, I think that we have been on this amalgamation discussions for the past 5 years since we were appointed. I think that one of the things that Kada Asma still has was the, even the appointment of the gender commissioner. I will just give you an example. Gender commission is the only one where the commissioners were appointed for 2 years. All the other chapter 9s, they get 5 years, but with us, it was 2 years. And 2 years part-time or 2 years full-time. And there was no one to support us. I know that the people that want amalgamation are strong on it, but they don't support the gender commission's governance structure to be stable. One other thing just to highlight, these meetings are called the task team meeting, as you will see the report. One of the things that we, as the gender commission sitting commissioners have said, was that we are sitting commissioners. We cannot make a decision about closing or amalgamating the gender commission as the sitting commissioners. If Parliament wants to amalgamate the gender commission, they must do it. If the parties want to do it, but as sitting commissioners, we cannot advise the country to amalgamate the gender commission. The overlaps that are put on the gender commission's debate for amalgamation are not unique to the gender commission. Public Protector has overlaps with SIU, overlaps with Justice. No one is talking about that. Mm. The culture and Cultural Rights Commission that wants to be partially amalgamated itself is being amalgamated with PENFAP, who is not a Chapter 9. It's another chapter. There's Youth Commission that has also been fingered as part of the amalgamation. Not in any of the constitutional imperative law. It's not a Chapter 9, it's not a Chapter 10 Youth Commission. But it has to be, it's put on the steering port of amalgamation. So it has been going on for a long time. It's surprising that you are also hearing it for the first time now and you don't have the report. It's more than 5 years going on. There has been consultations after consultations. Even ourselves now, 6 months into my position, I'm still talking on amalgamation. Then the budget. The General Commission is the second Cinderella. When we started 2007, Kada Asmal wrote this report, we were getting 39.7 million. At the moment, we are 78 million. The Public Protector, 290-something million. Mm. Human Rights Commission, 286 million. The Gender Commission, 79 million. We can't move. There's still, Mama Chair, the whole issue that the appointment of the commissioners of the Gender Commission is left to, they lapse. So you find gender commission being run by a chairperson for a year or two. Doesn't happen with other commissions. So for me as the chair, one of the things that surprises me the most is that the OISD, instead of supporting and making sure that the governance of the gender commission is intact, just like Kada Asma wrote in his report, that he feels that this is a lost opportunity, he is in pain. Myself, having been in the gender space, Honorable Minister, it's been 20 years now. This is the most neglected space, but we have to now, at the helm of my year, say, no, we can amalgamate. It makes sense. Still doesn't make sense. We are still not supported by the same OISD office in Parliament. Our commissioners, we waited for to have a chairperson only last year, 9 months. Vacant governance. the CEO has to run between different acting. We had an illegal acting chairperson at some point. Just because we are not getting the support we need from the OISB office. But one thing they are sure of, say yes or no to amalgamation. We don't want any other thing. That's the last meeting. Just say yes or say no. Otherwise, you go and report to the presiding officers why you don't want to amalgamate. And that is where we are at the moment. So it's like we are left to lobby the deputy speaker, to lobby the speaker. We must go and lobby different parties that, you know, we have come at a stage where we are told, say yes or no. Otherwise, we are moving, the report is going to be submitted. So we have a written and dissenting report to the amalgamation. It has been captured as such. The committee was told that the gender commission's report will be labeled that it is saying no. So apparently we are not even discussing a single human rights body. We have just said no. If we are working on Kada Asmal's report and what informed Kada Asmal, just to give you a background, there was a Umama Siroki that time, alone. The same OISD was not supporting for the appointment of timeously of the commissioners. There were no commissioners. Although there were supposed to be 11 at that time, there was only one, Mama, the chairperson. She had to run the gender commission at that time with the CEO. This is the history of the gender commission. And based on that, then we must say in 2018, shut the doors. And we disagree. The gender commission is on a clean audit at the moment. It's been 10 years of unqualified audit, clean audit. So we don't understand whether it's a money issue or... And then we were told, no. Parliament is ready to adopt the report, the card. And then Parliament is going to be discussing this. So it is just we were given the last option that we must come to the presiding officers to come and explain ourselves why we don't want the gender commission to close. So this is where we are. We disagree. The findings by Kada Asmal, the research that Kada Asmal used for amalgamation, we have a comprehensive report. Even Zambia, Kenya, that is mentioned in the research. The countries themselves that were pro-single human rights bodies that are quoted by Kada Asmal are the ones who are visiting the Gender Commission every year now, asking us how does the Gender Commission, you know, thrive in the South African context. But the South Africans themselves want to close the Gender Commission. We've had Mozambique, we've had China, we've had Kenya, we have Zimbabwe asking us how do we help them to re-establish their Gender Commission. So it's a strange anomaly, but it's such a rushed, it's rushed 5 years, but it's like people don't understand why we are saying we cannot close the gender commission. So we know our mandate, we know what to do, but we have only 79 million and we are prioritizing that. Many things that were identified there have shifted. Honorable Lizzo, you have been with the Gender Commission, I don't know for how long. So I think that we have been reporting, and even the turnaround of the Gender Commission, some of the honorable members who are here have been part of it. So it's a battle to understand what is really behind this. And we have said then to the subcommittees and the committees that we have been subjected to, that we are just going to now say no. So whether you want a single human rights body, because we don't want to be ambushed, that the people who were sitting in the Gender Commission in 2018 actually recommended to the closure of the Gender Commission, it doesn't make sense to us.
So we went back to the historical documents, why the Gender Commission was established. We went, we spoke to the deputy speaker about it. We spoke to the speaker about the historical mission of the Gender Commission. What were the discussions during the CODESA? We just went to the archives just to show that there was logic to making the Gender Commission separate from the Human Rights Commission. Then there is this logic of money. We want to categorically say to you members, the Human Rights Commission is not ready to take care of the Gender Commission and its mandate. Even on its own, it can say it is ready to take the Gender Commission, it is up for amalgamation. They need money on their own. They want money also to do their own mandate. Mm. So if they take on the Gender Commission, the 79 million that the gender work has, where will it go to? It will go to the mandate of the Human Rights Commission, and they will still need some more and a change. So we are disagreeing. There's so much to say, Honorable, but we want to reserve our time to so that we can have the substantive discussion with the Deputy Speaker, because and the Speaker's office and the OISD office, because we feel that there's something that they don't want to hear that they are supposed to be listening to.
No, Chairperson, I think we need to maybe listen to the answers that are provided and then we'll come back, because I think we as a committee are all very concerned with the processes that have unfolded. So I think we'll listen to what they say and then we'll come back.
Okay. Yeah, Chairperson, it's just something that I forgot before we get the response. Mina, it's become so ironic that ISD is the only man, Akuba Kuzgazama.
Translation, you heard the people voicing out their dissatisfaction. I want to say, and this message must be sent to each speaker, women are self-sufficient. They've never relied on men. Even during the struggle, they were not holding onto any man's pants or coat. They fought for their democracy. We're not going to allow patriarchy to destroy what we really treasure, and which is the democracy for all other generations. I echo the feeling that we're not going to support this amalgamation under any circumstances, and we'll continue fighting for our freedom. Thank you.
No, we won't answer you fine. Or I'm
wrong. Are we going to march?
Don't do it.
Anybody who wants to, you can respond, friend, keep.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We have noted, Chair, the serious concerns that have been raised, and the Deputy Speaker will be informed, and I think I would even propose that the report of this meeting be shared with him. Chair, the comments that have been raised, to me, most of them are relevant, especially at the time when the report of this task team is submitted to Parliament. And I also take note of the fact that that report should be also shared with all relevant stakeholders in Parliament, including this committee, and it be discussed, because it's not going to be a final report. And the intention of embarking on this process, Chair, if I may share, it was in recognition of the fact that the Kadasman document is very old. Yes, it has not served before, it has not been debated in Parliament. And the intention of embarking on this process, indeed, is to say, when Kadasman report is tabled, there is also this fresh, if I may say, report now with information that is not 10 years or 11 years back. Then it's submitted, it's tabled, and referred for debate in the House. The House, at the end of the day, will be the final arbiter on this matter, having had both the Kadasman report as is, and also the report that Parliament took a view that ISTs themselves, nothing about us without us. I think I heard them. ISTs themselves must be involved in the process of analyzing all these issues that are coming up since Kada Asmal report was drafted. So it will then again be prudent that when we have this report, the Deputy Speaker, because he's in charge of this process, we are just officials that are supporting that office. So they will have to take cognizance of the fact that they are concerned that consultations, public hearings, again, that's another issue that we have noted. In fact, even from the task team itself, there is an issue that says there should be public hearings on this particular matter. So that report, which is coming from the task team, will even raise some of the issues that are and concerns that are raised here, which Parliament then must take forward. As to how it will take forward, as you would know, Chair, the politicians will be the ones to decide how do we do those public. Be it that there is a committee comprised of members of Parliament from different stakeholders internally, and they do the external consultation and come up with a final report now. That's then that I think things will be addressed. But as I'm saying, I think Deputy Speaker should be the one who's going to talk more to the political process or once the report is submitted. That is the report of the task team. When I say, and I want to emphasize this, there are two streams, the one that deals with finances, the one that deals with the amalgamation. But the report that's going to come to Parliament is one report from the task team having different chapters dealing with all the issues.
Now, Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm listening very carefully, but you know, if the Deputy Speaker was here, I would have asked the Deputy Speaker to scrap this process, because quite frankly, I mean, there's a new Parliament coming very soon.
Yeah.
The basics are not here. We are working on a report that's very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't reflect the current situation in our country,
mm-hmm.
doesn't reflect the high levels of gender inequality, the pay gap, gender-based violence. There is no motivation and substance to remove the Commission for Gender Equality. So ideally, we are sitting here today talking to the wrong people, because we need to understand from the Deputy Speaker what the motivation is to scrap a body that is in fact doing wonderful work. We have often said to them, with the little money that they've got, they are doing exemplary work.
And quite frankly, I think the message from this portfolio committee to the Deputy Speaker must be firstly that we are very, how can I put this, we are, insulted is not the right word, but the discussions around removal of, for example, the CGE of amalgamation into the human rights body or one human rights body should have started here, and we should have given, because the fact of the matter is we are now debating a process which firstly didn't involve members of parliament, it didn't involve the public, it didn't involve civil society, it didn't involve the women who are victims of gender-based violence, it didn't involve women in traditional areas or rural areas. So, you know, even if you have to take this process or this report to the Constitutional Court will throw it out, because the basic principles that we needed to follow to get to a point where there's now a report that will be brought to Parliament has not been followed. So I wish just to say that I think, you know, it would have been helpful for the Deputy Speaker to be here today, because I don't think any of us can understand what would be the motivation to move from the premise of a report which was compiled when things in South Africa was, you know, vastly different from the situation that we are facing now. I think if you even just look at the fact that there's a pay gap in the workplace where a woman earns 27% less than a man, our high levels of gender-based violence, and we're not making a dent in that, and you then want to make a motivation to say we cannot spare less than 100 million of our national budget to fight women's issues, then I don't know what we're talking about, because then we are not only insulting women, but we are insulting every one of us here that have for the last 5 years during this parliament fought for women's issues. So really, I wish the Deputy Speaker was here, and I wish she could have heard, you know, the most... nothing here makes sense to me, because the basics are not in place. The basic consultation with the public, basic consultation with members of parliament were not followed. So I don't even think that this report that is being published, even though I know you're just an official as you've indicated, should even go to parliament for debate. Because what will be in there? Who have they consulted? Which civil society organizations? Which members of parliament? Because you see the report now... You know, I'm not even sure whether the comments that we've given today will be included in that, but we really needed to start with the Deputy Speaker, because he's been driving this process.
Over to you. No, to the Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, this thing of undermining us is still continuing, mm-hmm. and it is persistent. Mm-hmm. The questions that are directed to the CGE, I know later when people are together, is why these ones want to sustain their jobs. Mm-hmm. It's humiliating. And you disarm them so that they don't shout and tell women that, hey, we are being penalized here, but also we are coming. There is a proposal that we cease to exist. And you see the strategy that is being used. It's always used to deal with people accordingly. But secondly, I think the committee must write a report and agree on it and send it to the Deputy Speaker. Because if this report is taken to Parliament, we are members of Parliament. We are going to oppose it. And it's going to look bad. It's going to look very bad. This is not a threat, but it's saying you can't have a democratic institution undermining democratic processes, as well as a Chapter 9 institution. You need a two-thirds majority for the CGE. you are dividing a parliament but about gender issues, about women's issues. And that has never happened before. It has never happened before, and so it's important that you also ask for a meeting with the speaker. Just have a side meeting, raise any issues with her if you've not had an opportunity to talk to her. Maybe she will think differently. Also, the issue of the budget of the CGE. Instead of fighting for more funding for the CGE, you want to take everything. I've been looking at their reports and the work they have done. Actually, it is the CGE that started with a poverty hearing in the whole of South Africa. And they've been doing the work with that minimal budget. And instead of strengthening it, we are finishing it. And it's not Parliament that has done this. So it looks like everything that deals with women is going to be finished. The gender-based violence council got finished. And today you have a violence and we are not coordinated. And one of the reasons was that there is not enough money. Why at all times when we deal with the issues of women, we can't find money? So it looks as if we committed ourselves to something that we were not ready to commit ourselves to. And you see, because you've not reported properly, we don't even know the processes that you followed when writing your report, because that too is very important so that we understand clearly how you arrived at this position. We do have women from various sectors that can talk about women's issues. A girl that is supposed to be playing 9 years old can express herself on the issues of violence, and we think we do not need the gender commission. You look at the work of government and how the services are delivered by different departments when it comes specifically to women. And we are not sure whether you looked into that. And if you looked into it, you looked into it very partially, because you cannot ask that question if there is no enough budget. You need enough budget to audit departmental gender reports. So I really think that we are we are in the middle of nowhere. and we don't know where we are going. If you, you know, your best example would be to go to the women's inter-parliamentary caucus or committee, where you will hear the views, genuine views of women. Even if you think you can't talk to political parties, though the issue of patriarchy is a political issue, you go and talk to NGOs, you go and talk to civil society organizations, you go and talk to domestic workers, women working in farms, you will understand our predicament. You will understand the reasons why the CGE was formed. It's an external structure that is not a part of government, that has even powers to summon government departments. But how are you going to summon a government department if you don't have an enough budget to do research and have variables that are tested that you are going to use to look into the progress that is made by the country? Maybe a chairperson, I should just end there, but once you have not scratched the surface to fight gender inequalities, it means you have not scratched the surface to fight poverty, and you have not scratched the surface to ensure that there is a first generation that is out of the cycle of poverty. And a woman is the face of poverty. And therefore, if we finish the structures of women, it means we are saying this country will stay poor. We don't have powers of saying to financial institutions, create a, I take offense. I take offense on what you're doing. You can write notes, but not laugh at us. We don't have powers to call institutions of finance and say assist help business women in micro business. But the Gender Commission has a power to do that. So let's think deeply and deepen our understanding of what patriarchy is. Not take the basis in favor, not take a decision in favor of another institution that is a Chapter 9 institution that has a lot of work to do besides the work of women. And there are government departments that are doing the same work. And when they think they are duplicating, they collaborate on those issues. And therefore, this is what should happen with Chapter 9 institutions. If they want to collaborate on some of the issues, they must do so. Thank you, Chairperson.
Next thing, what is funny? preference being the argument. Why are you laughing at us? What is funny with what we are talking about? Prepared. Are you undermining?
Well, thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Perhaps I should use the opportunity to share from an official point of view as officials in the office, that we do understand that the discussion on amalgamation is a conversation about Section 181 of the Constitution, other than that establishes Chapter 9 institutions. And the essence in brief of, as honorable members, as you would know, is that these institutions are independent, subject to the Constitution and the rule of law, and that all organs of state, parliament included, must support these institutions to deliver on their constitutional mandate. But the reason why I refer to Section 181 is to make the point that this is a policy discussion, and therefore a policy discussion is not a discussion for us as officials, it's a discussion for presiding officers of parliament and yourselves as policymakers. That is why the head of OISD indicated that at best in this meeting, committee meeting, we can note everything that is being raised so that we are able to convey the feedback to the deputy speaker. The fundamental problems for us, which we are unable to respond to, if I speak for myself, is there is a question in the first instance, why the task team? And we can't venture into answering any of those questions. But I think in conclusion, I would like to apologize to the Honorable Minister, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members if I was seen as laughing when she made her input. Certainly wasn't my intention. I would never do so at all. My humble apologies. I was not laughing. I was exchanging a note, but I was not laughing at all to the Honorable Minister. Thank you.
You must know that we've noted and we're not going to change from that, but actually it's very disgusting to us. It's still undermining us as women. And I tried by all means to accommodate you, hence I used the term grandkids. It will be in our notes and the report that is going to be tabled to the speaker. And guys, please, you must learn. You could be over 30 or nearing 30, but respect is demanded at all levels. Don't disappoint us. You are African. You've been taught to respect.
Chair,
yeah.
The minister is actually unikilum common.
Yeah.
And it's not so easy to say anything, because I think what I was going to talk about is has been actually, you know, elaborated on. Especially the part that says before Parliament, public hearings. Public hearings that have not taken place in some environmental structure. That's very important. And I was also going to suggest that, yes, by end of June, the report is going to be finalized. I would like the officials of the ISD to actually be part of that finalization of the report. And in that report, the fact that structures like the multi-party, this committee, and other structures that needed to be heard or to be listened to, it must form part of that report. That's what I wanted to raise, Chair. And it's unfortunate, really, that we're talking to them. It's like talking to a receptionist. When the actual decision maker or the one who's running the show is not around. But I don't think we have wasted all of it, because this report about this meeting is going to get to the speaker, especially the request that the chair among bilateral will be important with the deputy speaker. So it's also to give it a political concern that we raised here, so that we should be communicated to the deputy speaker himself. Apart from the report that they are going to give, I think it should also be that for us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members wish to speak?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the Minister has summed everything up. And really, even if you wanted to say something, what can we talk about a report that is not in front of us? I think we'll just end up there and we are expecting to hear from the Deputy Speaker, because I think Tina is multi-party, really. We are going to invite the Deputy Speaker to come and explain all this confusion to us, because we cannot accept any of this. I don't think it's just unacceptable to us.
Outside our community, they're welcome. It's not for us as a portfolio association. Not the party, which we are part of,
but it's for the women.